You want some candy?
No, thank you. I'm diabetic today.
Yes, queen.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0. My name is Tom and I am your host today and every motherfucking day. Welcome to the show. We have so much to cover tonight. We've got a lot of people in studio.
I'm back.
And Paul's back.
Don't threaten me.
Yes. And we also have Chris Mattoon, who's still in Germany, but he's going to be Skyping in shortly. We have so much. Also,
Shiza.
As if we couldn't get enough of him the first time around, Michael Buckley's in the studio again.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It was so much fun. It was a highlight of my life.
Yeah. That was fun. It was.
And I'm always here after tragedy, though. I was here right after Orlando. I'm here right after Dallas. Like, I apparently bring the tragedy. So sorry.
Welcome back.
You're welcome.
And of course, we also have our special guest for the episode today. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking shortly with Candy Kane Loudly. So
hi guys.
Let's say hello. Hi.
Girl, she looks so good right now in her wig.
Yeah. It's made out of back hair.
So anyway, we're going to jump into our first segment of the show. As usual, we're going to go down and introduce all of our hosts, the people that make the show what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tom. And to my left, to my right.
Hey, y'all. It's Nick or Trish.
And we have...
Hi, it's Paul Anthony.
And Chris is in Germany. So we're going to jump into
The Dish.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So there's so much to talk about. And there's so much that happened over the course of the last week. A lot of craziness, a lot of tragedy.
And for some of us, a lot of anal sex.
Yes. So let's kick it off. Paul literally just walked in through the door from his little trip that he had from Provincetown. He just came back from P-Town. And so, Paul, tell us, how was it?
Bear Week is amazing.
It was more like Bear Weekend because he couldn't hang for the whole week.
Wait, I got a whole shebang we need to talk about.
Okay, well.
Are you a bear now?
Are you?
I'm a little cub.
Oh. Well,
he's an otter, I think.
I'm not clear on these things.
Hairy.
You are hairy.
Walking out of tea dance one day, and all of a sudden I look across the street. The man who took my virginity.
Lord have mercy.
11 years ago.
Was that even possible?
11 years ago.
I thought you were born with your hole blown out.
The last time I saw him, 11 years ago.
That's crazy.
Was it Neil Patrick Harris or Andy Cohen?
No, I looked at him. I'm like, is that so-and-so? Oh, I can't name drop.
Does he look better? Does he look good?
He looks the same.
Oh, good.
He's fucking hot.
That happened to me at Pride 3 years ago.
He said hi to me. I was like, okay, bye.
So what was that, Candy?
I said, so you were drunk both times when he saw him.
Yes.
And I won't ever see him again now for probably like another 11 years.
And he's always willing to, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I was so young and fragile when he took my cherry.
You were never fragile. Do not lie to our subscribers.
Now you're just old and fragile.
In like 2 hours, and then he stopped talking to me. I'm like, is this what being gay is like?
So, and now, everybody, we know why Paul doesn't have a relationship with anyone but his dick.
It's the golden puss.
Plus, you know, like last week we had our mysterious, gorgeous friend in the house. He's back.
She couldn't get enough.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, why isn't he sitting next to me?
That's on purpose.
I thought I was the gorgeous one.
I do not allow any molestation in my house. I do not allow any molestation in my house.
I've seen it happen.
And wait.
Calm down, Bill Cosby.
You've already had...
Too soon? Ooh. Just right?
Ooh. Yes. Just right. And you've already had enough for the weekend.
No, I have not. Oh, so the person that I went down with had never been to P-Town before.
Lord have mercy.
Never been to P-Town before, so I'm like, listen, girl. When we get there, you're going to have a blast. He got so drunk, he had like 5 rum punches at tea dance. I'm like, you can have one. One.
And he was broke.
So
he
listen.
Had 5.
They pour 151 right into the straw.
Oh, yeah. He was so drunk by the time we left tea dance. I'm like, you need some food. I had to hold his hand and walk him like 10 minutes down the street. We got him food, and then he got white girl. Then he sobered up after he ate. Then we went out, and I took him to the dick dock.
Did you do anything at the dick dock?
He's like, what do I do? I go, just watch. Watch.
Watch the pro.
Let me lead the way.
Listen, just make sure it's low tide. Get on your knees and have some fun. That's all I got to
say.
Yeah,
it's under the pool deck at the Boat Slip Resort, and late night everyone goes in there, and shout it's basically out. Like a 200 man hookup place area. So
big up to the Boat Slip.
I just have this image of the dick dock of like all these men underneath this dock, like crawling out to suck a dick and then crawling back in, like kind of like
a hermit little hermit crab.
Yeah, exactly. That's my
looking
image
for a new shell.
So we're down there, we're hooking up. I'm not doing anything with my friend, but he's like, how do I know if somebody likes me?
Oh God.
I go, girl, if you go up to someone and just touch their chest, if they're into it, you'll know. If they walk away, find someone else. There's plenty of guys down here.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I swear
Paul
to God,
Anthony.
He's playing Pokemon down there. I think, I don't know what.
Dick.
No, there's etiquette, dick dock etiquette. Even in sex clubs, like you walk over, people are very respectful. You look at them, if they look away, they're not interested. Walk away. Keep walking.
It was kind of weird because there was
and
a lot of.
And don't shine a light. What's with people on phones?
No.
It's a, everybody
they're
looks
Snapchatting,
like a
aren't they,
there.
Paul? Hashtag, are they Snapchatting?
Snapchat.
Are they Snapchatting their penetration?
I turned my phone off on silent. My friend has his phone on. All of a sudden, his phone starts ringing.
Oh, God.
And the song, he's standing by himself, not knowing what to do. And the song was that song, woo, it's just me, myself, and I. Ooh. And me and my other friend are literally like, we don't know him.
Time to run.
Turn the fucking phone off.
Oh, the days of pizza. I was supposed to go up, but I unfortunately didn't work out. My babies had issues with one of my doggies, but he's better now. Thank you very much. And so I couldn't make it. So I'm like totally jealous. I would have so been down there.
Oh my God.
Paul.
The men there were so hot. It was disgusting. I couldn't stop. The whole time, my friend's like, I'm horny. I'm
How
horny,
many dicks
I'm
did
horny.
You suck? Don't lie.
I'm not telling you.
20? More than 20? More than 20?
So I have a question.
More than 20. The answer is more than 20.
The answer is I'm not telling you.
Candy
you,
has Paul. A question.
For you, Paul. So I did read a post from somebody that there were a lot more women there at Bear Week this year.
It was
year.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Was it you that posted that?
No, it was John.
Okay.
Everything yeah, there were so many girls
Name
there. There were
drop.
Bad.
Was
I didn't
that
say
bear?
Anything
was
bad.
That Bear?
Yes, it was okay. Chef Bear.
Okay.
So many bachelorette parties going on, and me and
are
John
you fucking
are
kidding me?
Me and John are in the club, and we're trying to order. There's girls everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, this is fucking disgusting. I'm like, let's go somewhere else. So we go over to the vault. I'm like, there's not going to be any girls there. We go over there, and John's like, perfect. Thank you for bringing me here. This is awesome. This is what I want. This is a dark, seedy bar. And then my other friend who came with us, he's in the bar, and he's like, this place is too dark for me. I'm like,
it's like Goldilocks and I'm three like, dicks.
But, you know, I don't understand. Well, I'm like, you know, it's like special weeks like Bear Week or like, you know, leather. There's like a leather event that occurs. Certain events, you know, women stay away. These men go up there for one thing and one thing only.
Oh, I wore my harness out every night.
Good girl.
The shirt came off as soon as I walked into a bar. And
you
should have
taken
around.
Schmo with you.
Oh, God.
Fuck her. She's like, is that my goddamn, is that my harness? Yes, Schmo, I took your harness to P-Town. You want it back? I don't think you do after what's left on it.
Oh, those guys are amazing, though. A lot of good things are going to happen for the idiots. So I'm really, really, really excited for them. So we'll see. You know, maybe we'll go down to Camden again and go see the guys before they leave Wildfire Radio.
Yeah. I think you should broadcast next summer from P-Town. I think you'd have a rollicking time. Bring the show on the road.
We've been talking about it.
Well, the guy who runs Bear Week 365's Instagram, my friend Gregory. Hi, we were with him, and he's going to come on the show in September.
Yes. Can't wait.
He's got a lot going for him, too. I'm not going to say anything because he can tell everybody about it.
Well, we'll be more than happy to have him on the show and talk about all that good stuff. So, Paul, thank you so much for reporting from Provincetown, you know, because
I fell in love, too.
And, guys, she's here, and she's, like, alive.
Yes.
And I'm fucking falling asleep right
I
now.
I think I'm going to send him to get, you know, plowed every weekend now before Monday so he can come bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to the show. You
bushy
know?
Because it's so...
But since I had to get a new butthole, I finally bottomed.
Yay! Yeah.
I was so worried about your asshole last time you were on it. It was just freshly repaired.
This guy was like, you are...
I've been praying for it.
This guy's like, nice you are so prolapse. Fucking tight. And he shoved some poppers
Dallas
in my nose.
Dallas and Paul's
goes,
asshole. I'm praying.
There it is! And I was like, yes, yeah. I'm not a virgin anymore.
These guys, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
For Paul's so. Asshole. So. And Dallas and Orlando.
Pray for Paul's hole.
Thank you, Paul, for that wonderful analysis of Provincetown and what they do.
The Golden Puss Puss is back.
No, but seriously, yes. For gay people who are listening who have never been, it is a magical, beautiful place. I mean, you're
worth it. Yeah, there's so much
there's
to
a
do.
Lot much
it's
more
the,
than
it's
just
the end
Paul's.
Of the earth. I mean, it is beautiful. The beaches are beautiful. It's families now, too. And I know as gay people, we're like lamenting the fact that there's women and families there. But it is nice. When I'm ever there, I always think how lovely that a lot of straight couples bring their children there and just walk around the street. Because when I was there in the 80s, as a young little gay child, it was not so welcome. I mean, it was just gay people, and now it's lovely that it feels so inclusive. So I'm grateful for all
it is. I think that Provincetown has evolved greatly. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to do. There's a lot of family things that you can do. You know, there's bike riding, rollerblading. You can go kayaking. You can go in the dunes and
you can
have
go
fun.
Whale watching. I mean, I went otter watching. It's really, it's a little bit different.
Really geared towards families these days. Yeah, like if you want to fuck your dad, take him to P-Town. That's really all there is to it.
Well, there's if it's a daddy.
I ran into so many people from
different strokes.
I was
Tommy.
Like, get away from me.
Different strokes.
Yes. So listen, let's
try to get
moving
my
along
dick
because there's so much that we have to talk about. So
shit.
In the midst of this whole thing that occurred.
You know what? I just have to say something. Paul's back, everybody. Paul's back.
I'm in the studio.
All I can do is smile and laugh. Thanks, asshole.
I thought I was going to be late. I was going to be like, I'm going to have to call in and then just run through the door and be like, hang up the phone. She's here. I'm fucking exhausted.
That's what you did, but instead you defecated.
Oh my God, I know.
Soon as that door opened, I didn't even say hello. I'm like, where's the fucking bathroom?
She did bring a box of cupcakes.
You ain't having any of those Scott cakes. Oh my God, Scott cakes.
I'm stealing them.
I go and get Scott cakes. She's like, how many? I'm like, can I have five? And then I'm like,
she's pregnant.
Make it 10. I got 12.
She's pregnant. Okay, good. So you got 2 extra. You can share.
Well, my friend Tao's coming to pick some up later because she forced me to get them for her.
Goodbye, Tao. You're not getting that one. Those are not leaving the house.
They're so fucking good. So, Scott listen, cakes in P-Town.
We've got some dish. Politics. Sorry,
I'm
Paul.
I'm hungry.
Fuck politics. I want to go back to poppers and Pokemon.
Yeah. We're gonna get to
3 P's.
Paul Anthony for president.
Poppers, Pokemon,
politics.
So we got to get back on Pokemon. But let me talk about. So you know how Donald Trump went on TV and said that he was a friend of the homosexuals,
oh, yeah.
and the gays, and blah 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 and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So
North Carolina bitch.
This fucker. So you have there's a politician somewhere in Massachusetts, and he says that Donald Trump is putting self-righteous faggots in their place since 1993. How I love this fellow, right? And the guy's name is Ted Busick, I believe. He's some sort of God knows what not in the state of Massachusetts. Why would you ever consider running for office talking like that? I mean, faggot, really? I'm going to show you a faggot. It's between my
legs. And he's from Massachusetts?
Yes.
I mean, call me a homo if you're going to call me anything.
So, I mean, a lot of people got outraged. Like, they even said, you know, like this one guy tweeted, said, Ted, you know, your useful, hateful, homophobic slurs in homophobia are unacceptable, and you should consider dropping out of the race of whatever it is that he's running for in Massachusetts. Quite frankly, I don't care. But to really, like, just come out and say, faggot. And then Donald Trump, on the other hand, goes and says that, you know, he's for this freaking horrible law that discriminates against, you know, LGBT community members in North Carolina. I'm like, what the hell? Did you not just come out on TV and say that you were a friend of the gay community?
Yeah, no. He's a hot mess.
He also tweeted that he was a friend of Serena Williams right after she won her Wimbledon title, which was her 22nd title, tying the record in the open era with Steffi Graf. Fun fact.
Verbatim.
And if she wins the U.S. Open, she will be the greatest champion ever. She is. But he tweeted something about having many black friends, including my just great black friend Serena Williams won the U.S. Open. Excuse me, Wimbledon. And she tweeted, we're not great friends. Don't tweet about me.
Here's what she replied verbatim. Yeah. No. I am not your black American woman friend. Stop saying that. Just stop. Yeah. Serena Williams.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yes. Congratulations, Serena.
This guy, I mean, seriously, I still say it. I think that, you know, he's saying anything he can to bring down the Republican Party so that Hillary Clinton can win.
Oh, God. Well, he's announcing his running mate next week because it's time. And, yep. and tomorrow, Bernie is supporting Hillary. So it's all happening politically.
It's going to come together.
Somebody said the other day that Trump is the best thing that ever happened to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a way to look at it.
It yes. is the truth. It is the truth. But speaking of Hillary, she got exonerated at this point. The Department of Justice is not going to be seeking any type of charges against her alleged issue with her emails and her servers. Sorry. That's okay. Paul just dropped his glasses. And so, you know, that was welcoming news for me because I'm a Hillary supporter. And, you know, unfortunately, it's frustrating for the Republicans who just want to, like, nail this woman with a very, very big, huge cock nail to the wall. And they can't. You know, it's just, it kills me. But they
tried
so hard.
Didn't she say something? They tried, oh, what was that meme you showed me the other day? About with, you know, well, God, I'm fucking blanking.
Oh, all that.
No, they told me I would never go down or something like that. Oh, never mind. Fuck it.
I said that yesterday.
Oh, the one with Monica Lewinsky.
Thank you. Yeah, they told me I would never go down, and then Monica Lewinsky's on the bottom saying she didn't. Or she doesn't, or something like that.
Listen, she said, the meme said, you know, I told you I would never be brought down. And Monica Lewinsky, of course, on the next film comes up. She goes like, yeah, 20 years ago, she couldn't go down either. So it's been 20 years and she still can't go down. They can't bring her down.
She's the Bravo. Face of bullying now.
My question is, well, who would want that on that? I wouldn't.
Wait, what? What on
who
what?
Would want Hillary to go down on anything? Nobody.
I love a power dyke.
She's at least. So, I mean,
Cheeto likes that one. Hillary's a top.
She is.
She's a beast. I'm telling you, she's gonna walk in there and
Mass
you know,
Dom,
she's
Arkansas.
She's like the last scene in Requiem for a Dream when Jesus. Like Jennifer Connelly is like getting like double plowed like with the two ended dildo with that girl like that. She's the guy that pays her to do that. Like that's Hillary right.
That
there.
Was Paul the TikTok 24 hours ago.
12. She that's didn't 12. Get paid. And she doesn't have a meth girl. Problem.
Oh.
Poor
who
thing.
Has a meth problem?
Well,
shut up, Paul.
I'm here to talk about
stop
my meth
that.
Problem. You know how many people in P-Town message me on Grindr at like 3 in the morning? You want to party?
The whole city.
With a capital T.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do crystal meth with you.
Paul doesn't
why
have
is
a meth
such
problem.
A big thing?
He has a meth solution.
What?
Yeah. His hole?
I got a drug you'll never get rid of.
Guess who's back in the news? Kim Davis.
I know. I saw that.
Why?
She's so disgusting.
Well, apparently, Kim Davis has broken the law again, says her the attorney general. This time, they're actually pressing charges against her and her attorney.
She refused to give up documents, correct? Yeah.
Basically, what ended up happening is she has violated the law, again, according to the attorney general of Kentucky, by failing to produce records related to the request for the Campaign for Accountability, a Washington nonprofit that says it works to expose misconduct and malfeasance in public life. Davis has violated an Open Records Act. So she refused to give information to an individual that was requesting it under the Open Records Act.
Good for her.
They should just put her away, keep her away, because nobody wants to see her anymore.
She should not be
I think
running.
Palm malfeasanist in your toilet earlier.
He did something bad.
Oh my God.
Wait a second.
I walked face. Into my kitchen and I'm like, what happened in here?
Malfeasance. I ran down the TikTok and did this.
Shame.
Yes.
I think this is the second time you've done that, though.
I did it last year, too.
Actually, last year, I was
when
walking
you're going
with
back
you.
To P-Town. Yes. I have to go to yes, P-Town girl. And see all
and I was taking
action.
My clothes off. I was taking my clothes off while you were doing that.
Oh, my God.
Up Commercial Street at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. That's right. You were there.
Yeah. Right after Spiritus Pizza.
Jesus H.
We were walking up to our room, and I was just taking my clothes off. And he's like, shame. And people were dying.
And she had some guy over and got fucked by him, too.
So did you.
I had no
same guy.
I did not ask for that. It was rape.
I told the guy to do it.
Wow.
You have to say no for it to be rape.
I was trying to brush my teeth, and all of a sudden, just whoop.
Meanwhile, in her bed.
She was standing God. There watching like,
speaking
go,
about,
girl.
Speaking about meanwhiles, what's happening in Germany? Is Chris even alive?
Oh. I don't know. He was supposed to call in.
Lord have mercy.
It looked like he was outside of a bathhouse ready to go in, so her Wi-Fi. I'm not
well,
sure.
She woke up in a park.
Do you remember?
So for those of you who don't remember.
In 1989, they tore down the wall so Chris could go to the bathhouses.
Yeah.
And he didn't go.
East and West Germany.
The Scheiße Shack.
Yeah. And so, you know, he said he had a great time and he was supposed to Skype
He's
in.
He's been gone for 2 weeks.
So yeah. Do you guys want to hear something kind of cool?
Tell me.
So a judge ruled that all dating apps have to have same-sex matches. So Christian Mingle is now forced to have same-sex matches.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Get out.
I swear to God.
I'm a Christian.
Oh, my God. I'm going to ChristianMingle.com right now and signing up, ladies and gentlemen.
What I'm not signing J-Date? Up for that because I'm not. No.
J-Date?
You need a nice, I would assume you need so, a nice church boy.
What is J-Date?
It's a Jewish dating app.
Are you Jewish?
No, but I like Jews.
Well, because, you know, they make a lot of money.
Yeah, and they always big, have money. And they have big, fat Coke can cops.
Shout out to Al. Shout out to Allie Raisman, who just made the Olympic gymnastics team. She's my favorite Jew, Allie
Shout
Raisman.
Shout out to Hallie McBeal. Wait a minute. How about that?
Yes. I've been down this road, walking the line.
Okay, since we're shouting out Jews, I'm going to shout out Pat White because he thinks he's one.
Yes. Okay.
Shout out to Anne Frank, bitch in the attic.
Yeah.
The greatest Jew of all time.
Bitch on partner's wall.
Did you know she's a little checkpoint on Pokemon?
Correction.
Yes.
You can collect the balls from her. Correction.
What do you think I do all day when I'm at work? I just spin that thing. I need to get my balls.
We were running around the fucking
correction.
Bar.
Like, it wasn't an attic. It was a cellar. Thank you very much.
No, it sorry. Wasn't, dummy.
It wasn't. Okay, Tommy, I can't with you anymore. LGBTQ.
all of them, yes.
But thank you, Paul, for keeping Anne Frank alive in your Snapchat.
Yes.
Very brave.
She is part of me now.
So listen, in other news, do you guys remember Oscar Pistorius?
Yes, no. He was the one who shot his girlfriend. And he's the one with the Olympic runner with no legs.
Yeah, he had the
he was hot, blade. But until they shot his girlfriend.
They called him the Blade Runner, yeah. Where he shot his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, and he just got sentenced, literally, to 6 years in prison for murder. Mm.
The 6 years, that's it?
Well, the original sentence was culpable murder, and things are very weird in South Africa. It's, like, very different. And so he ended up getting probation, I think it was, and then a judge came in and said, oh, no. They were looking at almost 15 years, and they came up to an agreement that they wanted to prosecute, and he only ended up getting 6 years. So, and it's
I mean, also the story makes no sense if you followed on 2020 or Dateline or whatever the F was covering it. He was an Olympic runner and his girlfriend and him had a domestic dispute and he started shooting at the tour, which again, it makes no sense. He just started shooting at her and now she's dead. So it does seem unfair that he only gets 6 years in prison because he did kill her, regardless of the circumstances.
Allegedly, he thought that it was an intruder.
Right, oh, right, right. Please. The story's very strange. I followed the whole thing. It was very strange.
You know, it's kind of, here's the thing. Can somebody tally that up,
I'll tally it up because Chris hasn't called in.
The sad thing is he had a bright future ahead of him and he...
So did Michael Phelps, but she smoked pot.
Oh my God, he's our most decorated athlete ever. It's
he's
not comparable.
He's going right back.
He's
to
going back to the road to Rio. He's going to win more medals.
He beats that man.
He's amazing.
So
he's a new father, and yes. He just qualified to his next Olympics. We love Michael Phelps. Oh, he did pot twice. He had drunk driving. We love you, Michael.
So listen,
take an Uber.
Didn't President Clinton say he did reefer once?
Yeah. Bush did coke. So hey,
he said he didn't inhale though. Was that Clinton?
Are we keeping
yeah, and
you
he also
awake,
didn't
Paul?
Get a blowjob from Monica Lewinsky.
So anyway, you know, the guy
I'm
had
not sleeping,
a lot
there's
going
a bug
for
in
him.
My eye. I'm trying to suffocate it.
There was, you know, he had a really bright future, and unfortunately this happened, and you know, that's awesome. Life has a way of just, yeah. You know, throwing curves at you, and that's just the way it is. So it's sad, really
Can
sad.
Can I ask our guest host and our guest a question?
Yes.
Sure.
So, I mean, I know, Michael, that you aren't in a place you don't really want to date right now. But how do you feel about dating bartenders? Would you date a bartender?
Oh God, I hate to say this out loud. I'm willing to date. I actually just updated my Grindr that says right now friends, and I would have a relationship if I met an age appropriate successful man.
No,
I would date a bartender if that was his life passion. He was very if he was very successful and ambitious. And but again, I do think that I will say I'm one to right swipe on Tinder for what you do for a living because I think. What you do for a living does say a lot about you. And I'm interested. A bartender, sure, I would date a bartender if that's what he loved doing and he was wonderful at it and passionate about it and a creative, successful bartender, sure. But if he was a bartender who was a miserable bartender who was like, oh, I hated my life,
like
I wish.
Nick.
You know, I True. Wish I was doing something else. I would like to date somebody who's very passionate and enthusiastic about what they were doing. So that's more my answer.
He'd rather just fuck the bartender.
Right. No. Can't make out in the corner
get
twice.
The free drinks.
Did we ever make out once? I feel like I kissed you once.
I feel like you tried to kiss me plenty of times.
Wow.
I might have let one in.
I think I kissed you once. I was trying to think of that the other day, but I'm always wildly intoxicated when I see you. I apologize to the viewers,
so
the listeners.
I love it.
So, Candy, what do you think? Would you date a bartender?
No.
Why? Well, I mean, I know that you're in a relationship, but outside of that.
And he's an amazing guy, too, so.
I really have nothing to say on it. I mean, I guess it would all depend on the person, and to piggyback off of what this gorgeous man just said, if you weren't just like a bartender who, you know, you were a bartender and that's all you were doing with yourself, then probably... Actually, you know what? I'm going to change my answer and just say no comment.
Okay. So you can't win this conversation.
I'm staring at three bartenders right now, and they're looking at me with daggers in their eyes.
No, it's really funny, but that's how this conversation went.
Ask if you would date somebody who worked at McDonald's. That's different, because a bartender, you could own the bar, or you could be making $1,000 a night if you live
would
in
New Would you date a drag queen?
Hold on. The reason I brought it up was because I don't know if anybody listens to Dan Savage. I love Dan Savage. And recently he got a question about this girl was dating a bartender and she thought he was cheating on him. And so the woman was dating a guy bartender and all she could think about was the fact that he was cheating. Whereas these fucking queens are like, they don't make enough money.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between gay men and women, unfortunately. You know, it's we look at things from a different perspective.
I completely agree.
Most of the things that we look at, believe it or not, are we look at it from a sexual perspective.
Yeah.
You know, until we get to a certain point in life, that's all we think about.
That's not true. I mean, I'm 41 years old. I have great sex with 22, 23, 24-year-olds all the time. I would never date any of them. I am more interested in where you are at life and how much you have in your 401k and if you are ambitious and successful. Because, again, I'm not 22, 25, 30. I am successful and older, and I don't need to be taking care of somebody. So it isn't – that's why when I said if they're a bartender, that's fine if they're able to make a living and they're happy. I mean, I want someone who's joy-filled and purposeful, and if they happen to be joy-filled and purposeful and working at a bar – or working anywhere, that's great. That's what I'm more concerned about, because I don't want to date somebody who's miserable and unhappy and unfulfilled, because that's not a great relationship. I'm happy and fulfilled. I need to meet somebody who's happy and fulfilled.
Yeah, but there's a lot of money in bartending. I mean,
that's fine. But again, if you're happy and love doing that, I would date you. I'd be happy to date you. People in New York coat check girls make $400 a night being a coat check girl. You never know.
I went on 14 vacations last year. After this weekend, I'm looking at my fucking debit card like, it's almost like a gift card now. Let's see what's on it. You can try it.
Well, speaking of bartenders, we haven't talked about our cocktail for this episode.
And we do. So we have...
Make me another one. I'm on my third.
Oh, it's delicious. It's so delicious. So listen, it's a double pared down cocktail. And I'll explain what it is. It is pear vodka.
Good.
Delicious with pear nectar. That we've purchased from, you know, the supermarket. It's actually Goya makes a nectar. Very, very, very
very vodka. Flavorful, though.
And then, Danica said, bueno.
Goes down easy like Paul.
You add some soda on top of that over ice and go to town. Paul's going to need some ice for his butthole today.
There's ice cubes in there right now.
Oh, good girl.
I'm at half my glass and I'm... toasted.
Well, that's only because our bartender tonight,
Trish,
Miss Trish here, she's a heavy pourer.
I have a very heavy hand.
So it's all alcohol, very little juice, very little soda.
Yeah. Our boss gets on my ass all the time about it.
So by the time we end up walking out that door, we're probably all cockeyed and on one foot.
He's all like, why are you pouring more vodka in there? I'm like, well, the ice isn't floating yet.
So that is our cocktail. It is absolutely delicious. We'll put the recipe on the website, as we always do, so that you guys can try it on your own.
Did anything fun and exciting happen at Partners Cafe this weekend?
No.
Did it? No.
Saturday?
No. I had a really good time Saturday.
Is something supposed to happen?
I don't know, because I wasn't there. Hello?
Well, no, you know, nothing eventful. It was actually kind of like... We had waves. It was like busy a little bit, and then it would like die down. But you know, overall, it was just.
On Saturday night. I went to the drag show at the other place, and then I wandered over to Partners, and it was pretty crowded. The dance floor was pretty crowded. And,
yeah, they had a really good.
Yeah. I made out with a guy too. He was so cute. He's like, "I love you. And you're so sexy." And he said, "I'd love to kiss you." I just grabbed him and kissed him.
This man gets so much ass.
Doing God's work.
You get so much ass.
I do. But
are you that blank profile that throws around that money symbol to people?
I literally have a generous head. I have a headshot. It's fully me. I don't care. Someone asked me if I was generous. I'm like, I'm not paying for sex. Go fuck yourself. I have plenty of sex every day. I'm not paying for sex. Latino couple in Bridgeport. I'm good.
Whoa.
It is. They're like, God. There's two couples and they always write Jen question mark. And I'm like, I'm good. Thing. I know I'm older and whatever, but I'm fine. I'm not paying for
sex. I was getting a handy on the dance floor at T-Dance by someone who comes to Partners.
And then did you lick it?
Everyone else did.
Yeah, of course they did.
Yeah, and then Paul put it in the mouth afterwards. That's what he does. I was doing
bad things on the dance floor at T-Dance. Mm. It was... No.
Yes,
Are you happy? You don't feel any shame, do you? You're happy.
Confess.
Confess your mess.
I read a whole book about shame, and I think as a gay person that who is sexually active and enjoying a good time, I think that we're growing up. You know, when you're growing up, you think, "Oh, am I deviant or is something wrong with me?" But it's like you're a grown.
No,
ass
I was
man.
Having
you
a
can
blast.
Do whatever you
I was,
want.
I was
so
enjoying,
I was asking
I
out of curiosity
myself.
If you
good.
As
I am
you
a very
should.
Carefree sexual human being.
You are sex positive.
Yes.
That's what I told you. That's the word.
Speaking and it's always good to be able to express yourself, whether that's sexually, verbally, mentally. You know, that's the beauty of being a human. That's the beauty of being an individual. You can do that all on your own, you know? And no one can tell you that you're wrong. Well, unless you really are, and then you know they just have to.
Can we talk about Pokemon?
can we come back to Pokemon? Only because you know we have to throw in another segment that we've been doing now for the past three episodes, and we're going to continue with this one. We decided collectively that we were going to dedicate each and every single one of the next 49 episodes to each and every one of those 49 people that died at Pulse, and so we have to mention our angel for this episode.
Yeah.
So you know the thing is. That when we decided to do this, we thought, you know, this would be amazing to do because these individuals deserve to be honored in some way, whether that's little, big, small. It's coming from the... Oh. Yeah, it's part of the segment. And so, anyway, the person that we decided to honor in this particular episode, her name is or was Amanda Alviar. She was 25 years old. And people got caught up in her wake. That's what her brother would say. Whatever she was doing, that's what you were going to do, and you were going to have fun doing it. That's the type of person that she was. One of her closest friends, Mercedes Flores, also died in the shooting. They were together that night. Amanda was a graduate of Ridge Community High School in Davenport and worked as a pharmacy technician. She planned to be a nurse at some point in her life. Her brother said that she frequented gay and lesbian clubs because she always thought that they were fun places and she felt safe being herself. Unfortunately, that one night, that one very tragic night, was the night that she decided to go to a gay bar where she felt safe, and that was not the case. So we would like to dedicate this episode to her. Again, that's Amanda Alviar. And in order for us to make her life worth something, we have to take two names and
throw them under the bus.
So we decided as part of this tribute that we would take the senators from every single state that voted against gun reform and bring them
from Arizona. Jeff Flake, a Republican, and John McCain, of course, voted no on gun reform.
So we're going to call you
assholes.
That's all. Because your inaction will inevitably allow something like this to happen again.
Yep.
And
you have the power to do something and you still have done nothing. Yeah.
So we've got, you know what? At this point, we're three in. We've got like another 45 to go. So if you're a senator, watch out because we're going to burn you down.
And we're still going to burn you if you change it, but hey.
No, you know, thank you for that segment. It's important. It's important for people who are listening to a lighthearted show about whatever P-Town or whatever the act we were talking about. But that's very important right now. So thanks for doing that.
It is a 360, and I know that we talk about a lot of racy things on the show, but we also care. We're human beings. We're gay. It's part of our community, and we have to make sure that we support each other, especially in a time like this. So, you know, that's it. That's our angel, and you know, may she rest in peace, and to her family.
God bless. God bless.
You know, we're sorry to see that our little angel had to go that way. It's unfortunate. So may she rest in peace.
Right?
Yes.
Rest in peace.
So we're going to take a break because we have to at this point. We're already through halfway through the show. But before we take a break, I just want to let you know next week we have Grind to the Opera, an unauthorized parody, coming on the show again. This will be their second time. And they're also doing a show at 168 York Street. I believe they're doing it on the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll double check that.
It is? Mm-hmm. Fabulous. So
yes, queen.
We're going to leave you with one of their songs while we go on break. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. This is Cum Dumpster.
Otherwise known as Paul.
Hey! So am I just going to sit here and talk for the next 5 minutes?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Cum Dumpster, Paul's, literally, his anthem.
That was my theme song.
Yes.
Every time I go into your bathroom, it just falls right out. There's still so much lube in me. It's just sliding out like
girl.
Gravy. Hello?
You're disgusting.
So anyway, just so that, you know, we reiterate, we have the Grind of the Opera, the unauthorized parody, Abridged. We'll be doing a performance at 168 York Street Cafe in New Haven, Connecticut on July 23rd. Make sure you check them out. Show starts at 11, right?
It's a Saturday, yes.
Yes, fantastic. So anyway, so we still have a couple of items from the dish that we wanted to talk about. And then we're going to have a very, very candid conversation with our dear guest, Candy Cane Loudly.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, queen. Yes. I still think my favorite moment of Gay Talk on the Road was when we were driving around Philly, and every time we saw a hot guy running, I would just go like this. Yes, queen.
That was, let me tell you, that has got to be one of the best road trips that we've ever taken.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
That was the only one.
Yeah, you're right.
It was the only road trip that we've ever taken. But, you know, I've taken many road trips with people, but that had, to me, that had, has to be one of the best ones.
We had a blast.
We did. It was really, really a fun time to go down and see the Idiots Radio. You know, they come on Monday, every Monday, 6:30 on wildfireradio.com. So we love them. That's why we plug them, because they're amazing. And so, Pokemon, what the fuck?
This new game has everyone addicted.
Literally. You have people walking like deer in headlight on the freaking road, yes, almost ready to hit a post, a pole, or a car.
Well, somebody found a body. There's already been a death because of it.
What?
Yeah.
I was walking.
Car accident.
Listen, I'm walking my dogs, right? And normally I'm watching my dogs. Today, I was watching humans. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And I'm
gotta
like,
catch them all.
One here, one here, one here.
It's
and
really crazy.
All of a sudden, I look up and I looked at her and I'm like, are you looking for Pokemon? She goes, uh-huh. Me, my husband, my kids, everybody, we're all over the blocks.
And everyone like, in P-Town was doing it. And it was like, I don't even care if they're on Grindr right now, but everyone like crossing the street looking at the front, I'm like, get that Pokemon, girl.
Didn't you catch crabs on my porch?
I didn't catch crabs on your porch. I caught a crab. E on your porch.
Everyone's looking for their Squirtles and Weeble Wobbles and Pollywags.
Whatever happens to just regular names? Like, what happened to Pikachu?
Pikachu. Hi. Pikachu's hard to catch.
Well, where is that bitch?
I got myself a Squirtle.
Yeah.
I and got crabs. Me a Squirtle and a Weedle, and I got a Ratatatatata.
Can I tell you, I'm definitely probably the second oldest person at this table right now, and I know nothing about Pokemon. I really didn't.
It's the funniest game ever. You just run around town, and you go to, like, these little checkpoints, and Anne Frank is one of them, and you collect Pokeballs.
I can't play games. I have an addictive personality. If I play games, I will only play games.
But I will say this. Pokemon has done, in the past 48 hours, what Michelle Obama couldn't do or exactly has not been able to do, yep, in the past 8 years, exactly, is to get kids moving.
Yes.
That motherfucking game's got these little kids running around like this. They don't even know the cars are coming.
Paul tagged me in something today. He's like, I just, you know, this guy was on Facebook and he was like, I just really don't want to move, but I want to hatch my eggs in the incubator. So I tried a couple different things and then I put my phone on my...
On the A-track or on his record.
On his record player, and it just spinned and it tricked his phone into thinking he was walking. So he got all those extra steps. And he's like, and if you don't have a record player, you can just tie a string around your phone, put it around the fan and put it on the highest setting, God, and your phone will just spin around the room.
What? Who said this?
What about the microwave?
On Facebook.
Oh my God.
What about the microwave?
I don't think we want to put our phones in the microwave, even though
pop
it spins.
Popcorn and catch Pokemon.
And oh, there was another thing. It was like when you don't know how to play Pokemon, but you're still determined to go on adventures around town, and it's a Grindr logo.
Yeah, I think I posted that. That was a good one, though. But it's, you know what? It's a really, the intention behind the game is very good. Get people active,
you
get
have
people
to,
moving.
To hatch some of these eggs, they want you to walk 10 kilometers. I'm like, I ain't running 6.2 miles. Fuck you.
Can I ask a stupid, so it's a free game, but you have to pay at any point for any sort of advancements?
For like upgrades and stuff.
Have you paid anything yet?
No.
So I could play for free and enjoy it. Yes. All right, then fine. I'll go home and I'll
play on a game since Candy Crush.
But here's what scares me about the game, though, because you decide you want to start playing, you literally have to go walk and like, so let's say, for example, one of the checkpoints is your neighbor's yard and you're
crack
in Texas,
den,
right? And you walk into
in
someone's yard because you want to go get your egg, and all of a sudden someone's got a gun in your face. What are you doing
happened
in my backyard?
Four people were arrested because they were setting up little beacon, like the little checkpoints. Apparently you can add checkpoints if you know how to do something like that. But people were putting these little beacons on the game, and when they would go to collect their little balls, these four guys were robbing them as soon as they showed up to the beacon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Four people got arrested for it. I'm like, oh.
You ain't taking
my fucking Pikachu, bitch.
Like I said, the intention behind the game is great because, you know, it's getting people to move and people are walking and becoming active because, to be honest with you, with technology, we're slowing down.
I'm downloading it right now. You've convinced me.
Michael Buckley's going to join us.
I am.
Well, I'm still holding out. I'm just letting it all play out.
Well, you know, Out Magazine actually did an article about Pokemon.
Did what? They?
Yeah. It's called How Gay is Pokemon Go?
And here we are on Gay Talk 2.0 talking about Pokemon Go.
Well,
so
I mean, like,
pretty
gay. I'm not a real, like, I don't play a lot of games, but there's, so obviously there's the term gamers, you know, people that love to play. There's actually a term, it's gamers.
Yeah.
And, like, who knew? So there's this whole article about it. And then the whole reasoning behind the reason they think it's gay is because of this new character that they added, Professor Willow. People are calling him a hot daddy.
Oh, that's right up Paul's alley.
He's Hello. Actually he actually is kind of hot.
Yeah, my little guy is ugly.
And you made him.
Well, yeah.
There wasn't much to choose from.
It's true.
So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the point of that story is that if you're going to be playing Pokemon Go,
you need to exercise, girl. You just download Pokemon Go.
Yeah, just download it, exercise, have a good time, enjoy it, but be very careful. Don't walk into like traffic without realizing where you're going.
Well, when you open up the app,
going.
It says be aware of your surroundings,
which mm-hmm. is totally like you know, when you tell somebody not to do something, that's exactly what they do. Become unaware of their surroundings, completely engulfed in the game. Just be safe. Be safe and enjoy it.
There
you know?
It is. Enter your date of birth. I'm literally, as we speak, signing up for Pokemon Go.
They're going to tell you you're
I Googled
too
old. Pokemon because I'm so dumb, and it apparently came out in like 1995.
It did.
So I was a sophomore in college and involved in a wild relationship with my first boyfriend, having sex, being Albert and Bye Bye Birdie, not caring about anything else in the
you
world.
Probably yelled Pikachu a couple of times.
Pikachu,
even realizing
Pikachu,
that's
Pikachu.
What he,
yeah.
No.
But so I'm excited to go home Birdie. And play. Enter date of birth. I
well,
was
you
born
can't go home and play because as soon as you light
you
it up,
to walk around.
It's going to ask you to go.
Well, places. It was nice seeing you all. I'll be walking around. Bye. I'm walking to Partners. Paul's working tonight. See you in a few minutes.
You can get so many little eggs on your way there.
Yeah, you can
There's
get
so
your
many
first,
checkpoints. There's these
first
gyms
checkpoint.
Too.
Yes,
you got to like battle other people. I always lose. I have no idea how to battle.
Finally, I get to interact with Anne Frank, and I'm so happy about it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
So speaking of gay. You said there was something happening in Congress.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a transition.
Yeah, well,
128 hello. Democrats pushed to add the LGBT protections to the Civil Rights Act.
It's about time.
That it's
would be
about
amazing.
It's yeah, it's this
that
is
would
a
be amazing.
Really big thing to get
will,
it.
It will be amazing. Let's
it will.
Just say
I mean,
that.
It, we're going to get there. It's probably going to take a little time because you know that they're not going to With a Republican-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate, nothing's going to happen at this point.
So right now, it's as the law currently stands, discrimination is prohibited based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. So what it should read is race, color, religion, sex, national origin, or sexual orientation.
Some of the state governments have already passed that, though.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of state governments that are pushing back as well. There's actually, I think there's over 20 states that are suing the Obama administration just about the whole transgender bathroom thing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, you know, but it's horrible that they're doing it. But, you know, it's like, come on, guys. We're in 2016. At this point, it's time to grow up. Grow,
I'm an American. I want my civil rights.
You know, I always say grow up with love. You know, Candy, so tell us, what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Well, the bathroom issue.
Well, the bathroom issue or the fact that we're trying to include, you know, to put gender into the civil rights movement and protecting our rights based on that.
It's a no-brainer. We're all humans. We all should have the same rights. And there's no reason why one particular group of people should be able to dictate what we can and can't have as fellow human beings who pay their taxes, who raise families, who are part of families, who, you know,
are American.
Are American. You know, we should have not even Americans. Everyone should have the same rights everywhere on this planet.
That is true.
And other planets.
And other planets.
They're out there. Yes.
You know, mainly.
Amen, sister.
I want to get it in there because.
Whoa.
It's hard.
What do you want to get?
What do you want to get?
The Civil Rights Act. I want to get the protection in there because God help us if Trump becomes president and that's not in there.
He's not going to.
Oh Canada,
we stand on guard for thee.
Yes.
Can I give a since you're a gay podcast? Can I give a shout out to a gay thing that I watched recently?
Yes.
So I've been doing. I just started mentoring for True Colors, which is in Hartford. So it's like at risk LGBTQ plus kids. And last Sunday I went and we watched Gaycation, which is a series. series, which is airing on the Vice Network, which is very high up in your cable, but you can watch it if you have a Roku. I believe it's on Hulu or Netflix, but it's called Gaycation. It's a documentary, and it's executive produced and hosted by Ellen Page, who is an Academy Award nominated actress.
Yes, Juno.
And a lesbian, and she's with her very hot friend, Ian. And they travel to Ian something, yeah.
Love it.
And every episode is a different country, and the first episode is Japan, and the second episode is Brazil, and it's a little devastating, to be honest. I mean, we think in America, I mean, we have come far, but we still have a lot. In Japan, like, there's men who it's like they're lawyers, they're married, they will never tell anybody they're gay. And even scarier is in Brazil, where there is a cop who is running people over in the street because they are gay, and he can't even tell them how many people he's killed simply for being gay because he hates gay people. And you're watching this and you're thinking, oh my God, it's 2016. How lovely that we live in Connecticut, Northeast United States of America.
Yes.
And all over the world, people are hated for being gay or not able to be themselves, yeah, or walk down the street and hold hands.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've been doing so much work on our home front, and we still have a lot more work to do here. And that's where our concentration has been. But around the world, it's really intense and it's really bad. And yeah, we need to start reaching out to do stuff.
It's
bad.
It's a shit show out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the sad thing is that, you know, we get to sit back and watch it, you know, and to think that, you know, can we as a people make a difference? We cannot until our legislators do and make an effort to follow and do the will of the
people.
It's
funny that you just said that, though. Sit back and watch it, because I do think that now
that's all we can do.
We can't sit back and watch it.
World
I do
star.
Think we have to take action. We have to take action.
Well, we take action, but here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Second one.
Mm-hmm.
In order for our actions to have meaning and have power, we need to have people in Congress that can push our agenda through.
Yeah, well,
we
need to
have the support. If the people that make laws do not follow the will of the people, then we're just going to literally just keep doing things, having protests and having gatherings, and nothing is ever going to change.
You know what? But that's, I mean, I disagree with you, Tommy, just because.
I disagree too.
Okay. Yes, we continue to have these protests and we continue to have these conversations. And change, it takes a long time. It takes time to change, but change is happening. And it is happening slowly. And it's not because people are just sitting at home on their asses watching TV. They're making their voices heard.
They're posting on Facebook.
That's not what I meant, by the way. I believe that change is happening, but it could happen faster if we have the people, the correct people
in Congress
making laws.
Right.
And right now, we're going through a generational change. You know, you're going to see a lot of millennials start pushing their way through into Congress. A lot of traditionalists and people that, you know, baby boomers and traditionalists moving out of Congress.
Right.
And then you're going to start seeing a shift in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I thought for a while it took, I mean, we really need to move into Candy. So
yes, we need to get Candy in, because, you know, this is the reason why we're doing this episode today.
I'm ready and willing.
Well, yes, girl. Listen, we talk politics all the time. We have plenty of time,
plenty of
episodes to do conversations around politics.
Fuck politics.
I want to talk more about Paul's butthole. That's what people tune in for.
So anyway, I wanted to thank Candy Came Loudly for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Before you get into her.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I got to go to work.
I know. So
work.
I love that song.
We're gonna let, you know, Paul go to work as usual. You know, 8 o'clock.
Bye, Paul Anthony. I love you.
I love you.
He came. He shit. He left.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I had to drop the babies off somewhere.
You know, it's pretty crazy. So listen, guys.
Happy to be back in the studio. Now that Chris isn't even here, at least I call in. Bitch doesn't even call. She's 3,000 miles away. Hello.
Well, you know, it happens. But thank you for showing up today.
Thank you.
The trek all the way from Provincetown, Massachusetts.
I'll expect my check in the mail by Friday.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Did you listen to the last podcast, Paul?
Yes.
Like the whole thing to the end?
Maybe. Why? What'd you talk about?
Just listen to the end of it.
Yeah, no, what'd you do?
Just listen to the end.
That's Tommy all. Goes around the table, kind of like giving his love to all of his hosts. And then he's like, Paul?
Thank you for making an effort. Yeah, I did. But it's sort of kind of what happened. So anyway, going back to
Kansas.
Bye, ladies and gentlemen. Paul. That's Paul signing off.
Love you. He's I'm going to leave with Paul. I'm done.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, don't leave me.
She wants to go play Pokemon.
And at this point, Paul, now it's gone, you know. And so we need to get back to Candy Came Loudly. So, Candy.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. We're super excited only because we have a lot of wonderful things to talk about, specifically about you.
Oh, thank you. So, I'm ready for everything you're ready. Anything you want to throw at me.
So first of all, tell us, you know, what inspired Candy Came Loudly?
Well, I feel like I always wanted to do drag, even when I was younger in my gay life, but I never thought that I could because I was a bear. I was hairy. I didn't think I was going to look pretty. I didn't really know where I kind of fit in the gay world. And then I impart a lot of my, I don't know what to call it right now, my motivating force to do drag was watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And, one drag queen in particular who inspired me first right out after I saw her perform in person was Jiggly Caliente. I saw her at the Polo Club in Hartford.
She's such a little fireball, isn't she?
She's awesome. She's awesome. She's beautiful. She's funny, talented, very amazing, just really sweet person. And seeing her in person perform just lit something inside me and just gave me the courage to just go for it.
Because one thing I noticed, you came out of nowhere.
I agree.
It was
out of nowhere.
I did.
Like a fire, you were out and fucking running
it. Next thing you know, it's like things were happening. I'm like, whoa, look at her go. Because I've known you for many years.
Many years.
Go back to Gotham City in the basement.
Yes.
Back to those days when it was when it
keep
existed.
Gays in the basement where they yes. belong.
So, and even probably before that, I mean, I remember going to Choices back in Wallingford.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember Choices.
I never
went remember
there.
Choices?
I never went there
because I was married and too young to go out. Out for a gay bar, but I saw the ads in The Advocate and I thought if I was a single homosexual, I'd sure like to hit up the Choices.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean,
that would be my choice.
What an amazing bar that was. It was a supermarket that was turned into a bar, yeah. And it had a dance floor right in the middle with a cage. And I was always climbing that goddamn cage. I was skinny too. I was like, real
she used
thin.
To be a twig.
Yeah, I used to. Not anymore, honey. Now I'm like a Twinkie, stuffed, extra stuffed.
You're gorgeous. But
thank you, baby. You're I love gorgeous. You. So
more to love.
What I was trying to bring to light is that I've known Candy for a very, very long time. And so I know that it wasn't something that was easy to do, but you came out of nowhere and like all of a sudden it's like, wow, okay, where did she come from? And you took the scene, ran with it. And you've done so much good things with the community, with the drag community.
Thank you.
So specifically, you got the sisters together. How did you do that? Because there's a lot of contention going on with the drag families and this house and that house. And you seem to be able to take, like you had a show that you started a series called Candyland.
Yes.
And you had your talent searches and your competitions.
Right.
But you literally just brought it. You had drag queens coming down from Rhode Island. You have drag queens coming down from all over.
From New York, all over the
place. How were you able to do that?
Well, I figured that if I was going to do it, I needed to really do it. And I wasn't trying to like step on anyone's toes or to kind of jump in front of queens that came before me. I just wanted to do something that no one else was doing and maybe set myself apart, but not seem like I was better than anyone because I'm not. I've only been doing drag for 3 years now. And I spent probably a year before I actually wanted to do drag on Facebook, collecting friends and forming relationships with people online through Facebook and asking questions and getting advice and whatnot. Like
I remember you coming out.
Yes, it was.
I remember when you first posted. It was pretty. It was actually very endearing. You posted on Facebook, and I remember this. And I'm trying to remember verbatim. I have decided that I'm going to be doing drag.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that on my status, and I'm like, wow. I would have never thought that you would have done drag, but you did.
I didn't think so either.
And then you put that out there, and then you just came out like a firestorm. How did that feel to throw that out there?
It felt very liberating. I kept myself down for most of my gay life and most of my life. You know, I kept myself down by you know, fear of what my parents would think or what my friends would think or my fellow coworkers or even people in my own community, maybe not being accepted in the dating world because I wanted to do drag. And then I was just like, you know what? I think I was 34 at the time. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm 34 years old. I'm not getting any younger. If I'm going to do it, let's just do it. Just do it.
And that's the only way you can do it.
And that's what I did. And doing drag, it's changed me in so many aspects of my life. I'm more confident at work. I'm more confident with my relationships with my family, my friends, and new people that I meet. So, I mean, it's not really, doesn't have to be drag specific, but I do encourage everyone to do what you want to do, but you're afraid of what other people are going to think about it. Just do it, because you never know what the outcome is going to be. And the only person most of the time that's keeping you back is your own self.
And that's true.
So you have to move.
You say that all the time. This is the perfect example of it gets better.
It totally gets better.
So before you did drag, you asked people for advice. What was the best piece of advice you got?
I can't really pinpoint a specific moment, but I know Destiny Nations from Hartford, she was very, very helpful, very nice to me. That whole Hartford Polo crew was very accepting of me when I was a booger down. Booger down.
Booger down. Well, yes. I can tell you, she's not a booger down anymore. Talk about your process, your makeup. You do fierce makeup.
Yes,
I have to tell you. I've seen a lot of queens, and there's a lot of queens that will walk out on that stage looking a little hit. A lot of hit. But I love them dearly, but your makeup is, you're pounding other bitches' faces at this point.
I've seen you post live videos. Yeah. I've done a few people's makeup. I don't even know if I'm speaking right English right now. I'm a little drunk from my pear double down
cocktail.
Thank you. Acai berry.
Ooh, it's delicious. It's really very good.
But yeah, I've been helping some people, giving them some tips, and I have a few drag daughters that I'm still in the process of helping them get their looks together and be confident in their own makeup abilities before coming out. My process, it probably takes a little longer than most people, because I don't want to be a queen that can brag about doing a 45-minute face and look like they only spent 10 minutes on it. And you know,
there's a couple out there.
I'm never late for my own shows. For my own shows, I'm never late. I make sure I start my makeup and I take my time. And
how long does it normally take you?
In the beginning, it took me a long time, probably like 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And I looked.
What was the biggest challenge? What took the longest part?
Well, I just want to make sure that the eyes, before I started covering my eyebrows, it took a lot because I was working with a limited amount of space. Well, my eyebrows are really bushy right now because I'm on vacation and, you know, all that stuff.
I don't think they're going to be able to see that. So you're a good girl.
It's a full bush.
Yes. It's a full on bush. Yeah. Yes. But I had to really work with what I had space-wise and trying to give that feminine look with a full brow, I guess. It's basically proportion. It took a long time for me to get my proportions right with my face.
Where did you learn your technique?
Well, I started to watch YouTube videos, and one particularly was
Michael Buckley.
Michael, you do great, great makeup, girl.
Bitch, you are beat today.
I have to say this, though. YouTube, what a wealth
Shout
of
out.
Resourceful
so I learned to
videos.
Do anything.
Shout out to YouTube.
How to grill, how to put on makeup, yes. How to do anything.
How to build a deck.
How to build a
you
deck.
Can even how go to anything. Adjust the pH of your hot tub.
You can true. Even go and watch Michael Buckley on What the Buck, Thank which is you. Awesome
plug,
on YouTube.
Plug.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, everything I've ever learned, even today I was looking something up and I'm like, I was trying to
how
do
to
something
bottom.
In Photoshop. No, I know great how to bottom.
I
had to Photoshop something, and I went on YouTube, and I was like, oh, there it is. There's a video.
Listen, I had no knowledge of bottoming. Radio or bottoming. Yeah,
well. You know, I have a podcast. I asked you about this, and you said you went on YouTube and watched.
Literally, I didn't know how to set up a mixer. I didn't know how to use any of this, and I just went on YouTube. I watched a couple of videos, bought some stuff.
And now close to 10,000 viewers,
yes.
Correct?
It's
congratulations.
Insane. Thank you. It's really insane.
When we were setting up the website, we were literally on YouTube more than actually working on the website because we had to learn so much.
And, you know, I'm very grateful for that means of knowledge that it's available. And we encourage people that if you can't find something, you know, it's going to be on YouTube.
I agree.
So you learned a lot from the makeup techniques from YouTube.
I did. I watched the Vivian Panay's makeup tutorials.
She's fierce.
Like incessantly. I watched them over and over and over and over again. And then after that, it was just tweaking and removing steps, adding my own take on it. And I'm happy with where things are going right now, but I do want to keep evolving my look and trying new techniques and hopefully speed up my process, but not lack in the quality of the outcome.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, as time goes by, you get better with your technique. And I think that, you know, it can't get any more better than what you do. Cause girl, you beat the shit out of your face.
Thank you.
You walk out, I was like, when you take some pictures and I'm like, all right, that bitch is sick. Sick.
Thank you.
It looks really good. And
Thank you very much.
I'm very proud to see the person that you've become. You've blossomed into this beautiful performer.
Thank you very
and
much.
And you also rallied the drag community into coming out and supporting each other. You have a lot of people that come down from Rhode Island, New York. Tell me about Candyland. Once you had everything going, that was like weeks and weeks of competition.
Well, that was Star Search.
Star
Saturdays.
Search, yes. And you kept these girls engaged.
Yes.
They were coming.
Oh, yeah, they were. I mean, I do plan on bringing something like that back again.
Sorry. Tommy said coming and Michael Buckley started jerking off.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
Right here. Right
I'm
here.
Disgusting. Yes. No, but I will say as someone who I've just become familiar with your work, I've seen you like twice, but that's my favorite thing about you is I think in life, if you can help other people, it only makes you shine brighter. So
and
the fact that
that's something that he does often.
Right.
Speaking, and we appreciate that.
Speaking of helping other people, you say daughters and all this all the time. I, for the life of me, cannot wrap my mind around what these families or these houses are. Can you explain a little bit of that to me?
Well, I'm not really a part. Well, I am part of a house. I'm part of House of Alexander, Brandy Alexander, the Regent Empress of the Imperial Sovereign Court of Connecticut. This is her third time reigning. Anyway, shout out.
I felt you. I know what you're talking about. But
I'm one of her granddaughters. But the whole house thing, it's just like a tight-knit group of people who, I mean, in Paris is Burning, you can watch that movie and they really go into detail what a house actually is. Mm-hmm. It's just it's your chosen family. It's your chosen family. You hang out together, you protect each other, you look out for each other, you even feed each other, house each other at certain points in, you know, in your life because who else is going to? So
speaking of housing. You just bought your first home.
I did.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
With my boyfriend, Johnny Burke.
Yes.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Congratulations.
I'll have all of you over.
Make
soon.
Him listen.
Because that's a very huge, huge milestone. It's like your first home.
It is. I just turned 36 in June, and I honestly can tell you I never, ever, 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 ever thought that I would have a healthy, successful, flourishing relationship with someone. And... and here I am. I mean,
when's your birthday?
June 15th.
I'm June 8th.
And
Gemini.
He's a wonderful guy, by the way. Just to let you know, Johnny's an amazing guy. And I'm very happy that you guys found each other.
Thank you.
The question. So now you have this beautiful home.
Yes.
I know that you were doing some work because I've seen some pictures that you posted on Facebook.
Yes.
So which one of those rooms is your drag room? I want to know where all the dresses going and all the costumes and wigs and all that good stuff.
Candy does have her own bedroom
at
the house. And right now we are currently sleeping in that room because our bedroom floors are about to be redone. So everything is in there. I just started hanging up my dresses and gowns and my wigs are still in boxes, but soon she will have her own section of the house. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Really exciting.
That's a big thing for a couple, you know, you have to have a space for yourself.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I didn't even mention it. Johnny is so amazing. He was the one who said, and this could be Candy's room. So, I mean, come on.
He's really supportive.
He's very supportive.
How did you meet Johnny?
I actually met Johnny through my drag grandmother, Brandy Alexander. He had done, they used to work together at a healthcare organization in Hartford. And He had done a PD Pals fundraiser with Brandy, and she put him in drag and yada, yada, yada. And I guess she was vetting him to join the court, the Imperial Sovereign Court of Connecticut. So she invited him over for a dinner at her house with myself, Madison Duquesne, Summer Orlando. And I was, you know, and
Summer's coming on the show next week.
I know, I'm excited. Hey, Summer. So he came to the dinner, and we were sitting kind of across from each other in the living room, just hanging out. And he kept laughing at everything I was saying. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just probably drunk and blah, blah, blah. And we just hit it off, and
now you have a house.
And
Candy has a room.
Candy has her own room.
For those of you at home wondering how you fall in love, it's called drunk and blah, blah, blah.
Drunk and blah, blah, blah.
So now Candy has her Candyland. That's awesome.
Yep, that's awesome. I do. I am very excited.
So do you have anything that you're doing, you know, anything coming up that you're working on?
I do have a show coming up that I am a part of. It's the Orlando benefit for the victims of the families of the Orlando tragedy at the Shea in Hartford. And I believe that is on July. Oh my God.
And they just literally started, while you look for that, they just literally redid their whole stage. They have a really, really nice space now for people to be able to go up and do shows. It was a while before I had went up to Hartford, last, but the last time I was there, the stage was great. So
yeah, it's amazing.
So what do they have coming up?
It's the We Are Orlando, the fundraising charity event hosted by Crystal Burns. And it's on Saturday, July 23rd. And the show will be starting at 4 p.m. There's over 20 performers scheduled to perform.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know the Nations are going to be there, some Massachusetts queens, myself. We have some people from New York coming in, people from all over.
You know, the Nations girls, them girls are always up to do anything.
They are.
Let me tell you, that's one group of drag queens.
That is one queen. That's one house you do not mess with.
Yeah, no, you don't. Because they are up for anything. You have a benefit, they're there.
Yes.
And I see them everywhere. You know, and they've been in Hartford for years. I mean, I think they used to do the polo. They used to do Shea-Yes. They've been running around from Hartford for a very long time.
Yep.
So,
and
I
booked Destiny Nations, throwing her name out there again. Hey, girl, love you. I did book her for one of my Star Search Saturdays. She was a co-host with me. And I think that was the first time she had actually been back at Partners in a very, very long time. So it was really nice to be a part of that. Into Partners in that sense.
One of my first observations is that, you know, I noticed that a lot of the houses in the drag world are usually very divided. We do our own thing, you do your own thing, we have our own bar. That's why it was struck me very unique. That's why I wanted you to come on the show, because I wanted to talk about the unity. There's a unity behind what you tried to do. And people came together, houses came together, and the performances were fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm sure that David at Partners Cafe, which is, by the way, the bar that most of the bartenders here work at.
That was my home bar. Yep. That's where I started. Yep.
They gave you free reign to do that stage, whatever you wanted to.
And let me just say that every time this one had an event, I made a lot of money.
Yes, girl.
Yes.
It was hey, Bernard. That does not always happen. Dave. That does not always happen.
Were you sucking dick in the bathroom, Nick?
No, that was Paul.
The
owners of the bar. The owners of the bar, Dave and Bernie, you know, they do very well in making sure that they support the community, and supporting you was a really, really a good move for them. Because like I said, that was something that I had not seen in many years. And I've been out in this community for a long time. You know, so I mean, bravo. You did fantastic job. We want to thank you.
Right before Paul left, he specifically asked me to ask Candy something. So Candy has been watching a video of herself over and over again for about 40 minutes.
Watching you, watching me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so the question from Paul / me now, I guess, is why?
Well, I wasn't able to come and drag today to this wonderful show because I was working my day job, and I just wanted to make sure that I stayed in character. So I was watching myself so I can get my candy essence flowing.
Get it.
And bring it out for you guys.
Let me see the video.
Well, you know, I always say that a lot of people when they decide to transition into drag, there's always an extension of their self in their character.
Yeah.
And I think that your goodness, you're willing to work with people and your unity comes through in your persona. And I think that that's wonderful to see. So you know, thank you for rallying.
Thank you.
Queens.
You're welcome.
And the state of Connecticut to doing something a little bit more other than what they're usually doing for themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's really good to see.
And I wasn't trying to say that whatever was going on wasn't boring. It's just, I just wanted to see a little bit more. I guess New Haven was a little closed off where they didn't want to let anyone else in. They didn't want to let anyone else in because there were fears of being pushed out. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to incorporate the queens who have come before me and who have really laid down the work the past few years to keep the scene going. I wanted to include them in what I was trying to do and have them along with me for the ride.
And that's what I love. See, again, it's that persona that you have. People wanted to work with you. People wanted to be a part of the project. It was a really great, great, great endeavor.
Well, bitch, they still do.
And they still do. And you know what, guys? You know, I'm pretty sure that she's got many, many more things under her belt.
I do. I have a few things coming
under
up.
Your belt.
Is Star Search coming back?
Star Search will be coming back. I do have to talk to Bernard and Dave about that. Star Search will be coming back. I did just recently have my show at the Shea. Fish Friday with Mia Izile, my co-host.
I saw that, yes.
And because a night is a slow night, it doesn't really, you know, just that Friday night in general doesn't really bring in a lot of people. It did bring a decent amount of people, but for it to be a more lucrative event for all parties involved, we decided to move that event to Saturdays. So in August, we will be bringing, you know, back Fish Friday, but it will have a different name. And that will be at the Shea in Hartford.
Salmon Saturday.
I don't want to leak the name yet, but it's going to be
Salmonella Saturday.
It's
going to be really funny. It's going to be really fun. And
that's awesome.
And what the basis of that show is, myself and Mia will each choose a queen that we want to have, either local or from far away, to come and perform. And you know, we have prizes and giveaways, and it's just a lot of fun. We try to.
You know what would be really fun?
What?
If you can get Michael Buckley to dress and drag and go help you on the show.
Oh, you want to?
I'd love to. I was in a play once called Pageant, which was a musical where you're dressed like a woman. And I feel you because I'd get there 2 hours early and it was the eyebrows. It was literally to contour. Yeah. I mean, it took me 2 hours to get looking semi-feminine.
I will go to the ends of the earth to see this.
I also didn't eat for two. I literally went down to like 140 pounds. I didn't eat. I was emaciated.
Oh, you don't have to be a skinny girl to be a drag queen, honey.
That's very true.
You do not have to.
I have mental problems.
I'm going to listen.
I love myself. I love being a bathing suit weighing 140.
I actually think I approached Tommy and was trying to convince him to do drag too. And he was like, never, girl, never.
No. I would let you do me up.
But
yes.
Listen,
what? I'm thinking
that for the sake of the show, we would love to have you come back on.
I would love
Trish
to.
And
do
Trish!
Us all.
You can do Trish, and then you can pound the shit out of my face and make me look gorgeous.
Yes.
And then we'll take a picture and we'll post it on our website and say, this is the work. This is what Candy does. Because she does amazing makeup.
Candy, I would meet my other half, Trish.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got to put her on me.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, come up to Bristol, girl. We'll hot tub, we'll have cocktails, and then we'll beat your bitch.
Yes. We can do that. We'll take pictures.
Your dog will eat the drywall.
The dog will eat the drywall.
Off camera talk. Yes. Never mind.
My dog ate a huge
hole. The dog will eat the drywall.
In the basement. Sheetrock wall.
Your dog likes hole. Like mother likes son.
Thank you, Bristol Blues, for your fabulous fireworks, which are completely unnecessary. I just hope you won your home game.
So can I ask what kind of dog do you have?
I have two Shih Tzus.
Two Shih Tzus.
I pay attention.
They're gorgeous dogs, by the way. Gorgeous
breeds.
Thank
you.
I have my own two babies. I have two little Yorkies that sit here. They're very quiet.
Their names are Nick and Paul.
Yes.
They're very submissive.
Yeah. Hey.
Really Fitzgerald and Oliver, but yeah, those are my babies. I love them. They're an extension of my heart. And when I'm not around them, I think about them all the time. Right, Nick? Right, Trish? I do. Yes.
Basically, I live with Tommy now. I'm basically here every other day.
I think
now.
It's a very good match. I think that you fit. You feel. You look like you belong here. You seem like you belong here.
Well, we've
so
been.
If
we've
you're
been
looking
spending,
for a roommate, I think you found one.
Yeah. Well, we've been spending a lot of time together because you know Nick helps me out with the show a lot. You know. I could probably say he's my executive producer. You know, it's like we get together and we brainstorm. What can we do? What are we doing? Who are we talking to? That's the kind
we
of stuff that we sit down. Yeah.
And so. What's his sign-on bonus?
His sign-on bonus? He gets a big hug and a kiss from me.
And I don't always have to pay for the booze.
Listen, this is... Well, that's true. That's true. Our endeavor is totally self-funded. It's free. We provide it free to our listeners.
Subscribe.
Yes, you have to subscribe. And we appreciate every single one of you subscribers because, you know, we're doing it only because we enjoy doing it. You know, our intention was never to become famous or make money or any of that. It's just we have a lot to say and we have a lot of wonderful people that we engage with in life every day. And we just want to talk to them. We just want to talk to each other and put it on tape and let you guys listen to it.
Yeah. And you don't have to agree with what we're saying.
She calls it tape.
You don't have to.
She's so fucking old.
So
she
you can call 1-800-776 Gay Talk and order a VHS copy of this recording for $39.99. Yes. If you'd like a DVD, it'll be $79.99. Write to P.O. Box Gay Talk in Wallingford, Connecticut, 06492.
Yes! Oh my God.
You and you can get a thermo spa too.
You can actually. We're also available on A-Track.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
My father had the car
double-sided cassette tape, girl. A and B side.
Yeah.
Is it that time? What do we think?
I think we need to start the plugs. Let people know, you know, who we are. Well, everybody knows at this point who's listening, who we are. But if you don't, we're Gay Talk 2.0, and we have so much fun doing what we do. You can reach us by, you can visit our website to get more information on the show, which is www.gaytalk20.com. We're always willing to have suggestions or people, you know, send us messages, tell us what you think about the show, what you would like for us to cover. And you can always send that information over to our email, and I'll let Nick take care of that one.
At gaytalk20@gmail.com.
It's 2.0, girl. You're going to screw it up. You screwed it up.
Are you ticklish?
Yes, I'm ticklish.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, our website, our email is gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Sorry, I was being sexually molested
yes.
when I was trying to give the plug.
So we're also available on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram. We're soon to be on Snapchat. We're working on that. So, you know, we can throw all that good stuff and craziness that we do here in the studio, including the molesting that's going on right next to me right now.
I have no part in it.
There's a dick in my face.
Yes, it's cute. And, you know, I want to thank our mysterious visitor for coming and being here with us.
Tony Tank Top.
Yes, Tony Tank Top. We're going to call him Tony Montana.
Chino's got a gun.
As always, you know, I'm always grateful that people want to come and sit with us and have a chit chat.
I love when people want to come.
Yeah, that's we all
so
do.
Dirty.
Chris couldn't be here with us. He probably fell asleep in a parking lot in Germany somewhere.
Most likely. Yeah, but I think that's probably what happened.
I think it did too. Seriously. But I want to thank Michael Buckley for coming in and filling his shoes for the week because, you know, he's coming back next week, but we love having Michael on the show.
I'm coming back.
Love you, Michael.
Oh, you're coming back? You can come back whenever you want. Yeah, no, Michael, but Chris is coming back. You
know, Chris, stay in Germany. We don't miss you.
You have a great face for radio.
Same.
Love
same.
It.
So guys, Michael and then Candy, where can we find you on social media if you would like to share?
Yes.
Buck Hollywood, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of it, Buck Hollywood. Thank you. Have a nice life.
Yes.
I'm pretty much just on Facebook. I am on Snapchat. I don't know my name. I am on Instagram. It's Candy_came_loudly. And
sure she did.
Yes.
Yeah, she screamed sure it. Plus, and we also put a page on our website about Candy and all the links to all of her social media tags.
I shared the shit out of it.
Yes, queen. Thank
yes,
you. And
subscribe.
We want to thank you so much for coming on the show
thank
and being here
me.
With us.
I appreciate it.
You know, and we
great.
Welcome you to come back and pound the shit out of our faces any day.
I can't wait to come back.
We need to do it. We need to like come out on the show and just come out in full like face with wigs and everything and just take a picture and
we
put
need
it on
to
our,
do that.
We need to make it work.
I'll have to make sure I take off that day so I could help everybody.
Well, we'll need to be here, 8 o'clock in the morning so you can beat four faces into oblivion?
Or we could just all do it at the same time and you all watch what I do and we all do like a quick...
Oh my God, that would be amazing. We can do our own makeup and see how hot mess we end up being.
I want to make a video with you making. I would love you to make me over. Yeah,
yes! Sounds good.
So listen.
Need help.
We'll do the video and we'll do it. We'll do it on Gay Talk. We'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
That sounds amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you guys are amazing. You know, we cannot do what we do without any of you tuning in week after week and making our show the success that it is. So thank you so much. I want to thank my co-hosts Nicolina over here, Nick and Trish, and Paul, who's
bipolar over here.
Yeah. Paul, who's gone at this point, he went to work, and you know we love him dearly. He had a great time in Provincetown, and we want to thank Chris, who's in Germany. We miss him, and we're excited to have him next week. And everyone else that's sitting in this living room, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.